Let the road games begin. Phoenix Suns, toughest schedule remaining in the NBA, go on a four-game road trip. Their first stop, the Forest City, Believeland, Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland is currently the third seed in the Eastern Conference, a team that has surprised many this season because despite missing more the sixth most games to injury, they are in the third spot. They're a team that went 17-1 throughout January and the front end of February. They're a team that has the third best defense in the league relative to defensive rating. It's a tough team to play, and they showed it right off the bat. Now, granted, numerous players were out for them, including Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus, who hit a half-court shot to beat the Mavs a week ago, but didn't mean that they were going to roll over and play dead. No, they decided to play with pace, and Darius Garland decided to drop 21 points on the Phoenix Suns in the first quarter as the Suns allowed Cleveland to score 41 points in that first. But ultimately, the Suns battled back, winning 117-111. Good start to the road trip, Matthew. It's exactly what you want. You want to go out there and get that dub. Every win is important, and this one was as well. Two as well.
Yeah, let's start the season now. Everything okay before, just who cares? Let's start the season now. I know Eric Gordon's hurt, but let's just start it now. Let's just build off of this one game. We're 1-0.
Longest preseason ever. It was a 63-game preseason, but it's finally over. The regular season starts tonight.
Start working your way up. Everyone else had a head start, but we can catch up a few spots maybe. But I just think right now you can just feel how this is kind of just the new beginning, I feel like, right? Maybe the last couple games, maybe the last three games is like a new beginning.
Well, it's the first game in which Devin Booker returns after four games off. So it's the big three is back. And I know that we've said that probably like six times this season. It's like, hey, big three's back again. But you felt it tonight. Of the 117 points that the Suns scored, 88 of those came from the big three. And you need to have those kind of performances, and you need to have those guys who you know can get you a bucket when needed. Now, granted, the Suns went ice cold at the back end of the fourth quarter here. But like they've done this season, they've built just enough of a lead to where they can hold on to the roller coaster as it goes up and down. They're buckled in, as are we as Suns fans, going along for this crazy ride we call the 2023-2024 season.
Yeah, it's the only way to do it. Only way to keep us interested all season long and not interested half the season. As the Jamsters don't show up for half the season.
Oh, yeah. I know that our views will continue to go up as we get closer to the postseason, and it's not that far away, 17 games out. So welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. Whether you're watching along live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or Twitch, we appreciate it. Or Instagram. If you're watching or listening later, we appreciate it, too. Wherever you are, support the show if you want to. Be like Biscuits and the Bear. $6 in the super chat. Says Big D Booker didn't miss a beat. Just need to go two of the next three, and the Suns are in great shape. Completely agree with you, Biscuits and the Bear. And thank you, as per usual, for your donation. And that donation is always matching whatever the win differential is for the Phoenix Suns. So appreciate that very much. Hit the thumbs up if you guys want. If you don't want to, sure. If you're going to rate us five stars. If you're not going to rate us five stars, don't rate us. That's just, you know, kind of the nice thing to do. So let's pop them if we got them, Suns fans. Let's get into this game against Cleveland, because there's plenty of little subplots to talk about and plenty of things that Matthew and I want to discuss. So pop them if you got them. If you got a Diet Dr. Pepper like me, I'm just kidding. If you're listening, this is definitely a beer. It's 100% a beer. Okay. Just believe me. Bucks 17-111. The Phoenix Suns beat Cleveland Cavaliers, start their four-game road trip in the correct fashion, going out and getting a win. Brings my first question for my buddy Matthew here.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
Matthew, I gotta ask. Legend Joey in the chat says, ah, good, you guys are here. We're always here, guys. I've never been more frustrated with a Suns team than I have this season in my 30-plus years as a fan. So many low IQ plays, it's killing me. The Suns in the first half looked inert. They were being run out of the Rocket Mortgage Arena, which, by the way, Matt Ishbia was at tonight. He goes on enemy ground. Obviously, Rocket Mortgage is a primary competitor, and the owner of the Cavaliers, and I forget his name.
Dan Gilbert.
There you go, Dan Gilbert. They're like mortal enemies, and Ishbia's in the house, so like the balls on this guy. Just there's nothing I don't love about Matt Ishbia. Maybe his height. Maybe even then, it's just like I just want to hug you, guy. But he's even there watching this as the Suns are getting run out of the arena. And then they run the Cavs out of the arena in the third quarter. So, like Legend Joey, I'll ask you this question. On a level of frustration, where does this rank 1 to 10 for you compared to other Suns seasons?
Oh, this whole season as a whole? This whole
season as a whole, not just this game.
I don't know. You know what? Because I do think about it a lot. And I would have to say number one. Probably number one. It would probably be the most frustrating season. It has to be. And it just obviously has to do with all the injuries, right? The injuries, the expectations, where we've been before the last two seasons. So the expectations built on a couple new guys coming in, a lot of expectations on them, especially Bradley Beal. And, you know, Booker's missing some games. And we just expect more this season. But obviously, we're still 11 games over 500. So it's still a good team, but we always want more now. So that's the thing is like in Phoenix here, watching the Suns team play every game, we want it to be perfect, but it's not going to be. So I think a few weeks ago when you talked about acceptance with this team, I'm on board with that, but there is still that frustration that just keeps leaking through every game. So I would say number one. What about you?
So I was thinking about this a couple days ago, and that's why when I saw Legend Joey say that in the chat, I was like, I am gonna talk about this because I'm with you there, Matthew. I think that this is one of the most frustrating seasons for me as a Suns fan, and you hit on the key reason why. It's the expectation coming into this one. You know, bright side of the Sun, we had this whole series this past summer talking about expectation, breaking down. I did a bracket, different eras of Suns basketball, what season had the most expectation going into it. And I think that by default, this one kind of won because it is a subjective question, number one. And number two, it's a question in which you don't know what the end result was yet, because you'll go back and you'll talk about the expectation of like the 93-94 season. Now, a lot of people said 92-93, but for me, 93-94 had more expectations than 92-93 because we had just been to the finals and we were coming out of that and the core was still there and we're now healthy. Cedric Ceballos was going to be healthy. We were going to have a team that should make another run. We were going to repeat. Jordan just left the league. Holy shit, here's our chance, right? So recency bias and coupled with people who voted in those polls that I did in that series for Brightside, a lot of those people might not have existed in 1976 or 1977, the year after the Suns went to the 76 finals against the Boston Celtics, myself included. I call it the Dave King was still alive era, right? And that kind of took a weird turn this year.
Yeah.
But looking at this season, the expectations and what has actually occurred is really what makes this frustrating. Because I went through and I was looking at different seasons and I go, okay, like, because even during the 7 seconds or less era, it wasn't the season ultimately that you were frustrated with. It was the end result. You know, 04-05, they came out of nowhere. They won 62 games, but then they won 54. Then they won 61. Then they won 55. You know, then trades happened. We won 46, but then in 10, we won 54. So they were still dominating all like every season, much which aligned with our expectations. Whereas this team, you go back and it's going to be really interesting at the end of the year when we go back and we look at our preseason Jammy Awards and we take a look and see what our predictions were and what record we set. What you and I sat right here in this podcast before the season began. And we said, this is where we think the Suns are going to end relative to final seeding. And this is where the Suns are going to end relative to record and how far we're ultimately going to be off. And that's because of the frustrating things that we've seen in this season, the lack of continuity, the injuries, the turnovers, the disappointing fourth quarters, the lack of defense at times, all of these different factors in which our expectations were just so much higher entering this season. Now, the front end of this game against Cleveland was an encapsulation of the frustrations that we felt all season. A team that didn't appear to be focused, a team that was turning the ball over, live ball turnovers at that, in frustrating fashion, a team that wasn't getting back in transition on defense, a team that was allowing offensive rebounding. They turned it around the second half, but the front end of this game, for those of you who watched it, it was frustrating. Was it not?
Yeah, no, it was. You know, and a lot of the jamsters in the chat are talking about how they kind of just got back home and they're just now watching replays, or they're a little late to the game.
We'll tell you all about it, folks.
Yeah, and you know, I listened to most of the game on the radio. I was at work till 5 o'clock driving home listening to John Bloom. But I got to tell you, the experience of that always is just fantastic. I mean, it seems like you're there live. And I love listening to him, you know, the play-by-play. The only frustrating part is when the Cavs just can't stop missing threes, whenever you think the Suns are going to go on a run and the Cavs come back and hit a couple threes to match Kevin Durant, who made three in a row, that's frustrating. And you kind of get mad at John Bloom. It's kind of like if you watch It's Always Sunny when the lawyer's reading off the will of the dead wife, and they get mad at the lawyer. I'm mad at John Bloom. Like, stop, dude. Stop telling me that the Cavs are coming back and they're going on runs and the Suns are turning the ball over in the most critical possessions of the game. So that's what it was mostly. That's like my big takeaway. It's just, there's those turnovers, but they kind of limited them at times. And guys in the big three, like Beal, Book, and KD, had the best moments of the game to really help carry them and lift them. And you kind of felt, with 2 minutes left, you're like, oh, this is over. You kind of had that feeling like the Suns, if they blow this, I would be very, very surprised.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I watched the whole game. You know, I got home in time. I'm covering the game for Bright Side of the Sun, so was able to watch this whole game and really just note that what the Cavs were doing. Granted, the Suns did their part in helping the Cavs get to where they wanted to go, right? Like the first quarter, the Suns have 5 turnovers and the Cavs only have 1. And the Suns allow 7 points off those turnovers. And then they add 3 more in the second quarter. So in the first half, they allow, you know, they cough up the ball 8 times, which will allow 11 points. And the Cavs cough up the ball 4 times, which allows 6 points. The Cavs also just started out stupid in this game. 13 of 22 from the field. So 60% in the first, or I'm sorry, 16 of 24. 66.7% shooting in the first quarter, 7 of 12, which is 58.3% from beyond the arc. Without Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, the floodgates open. He played all 12 minutes in the first quarter. He was 7 of 8 from the field and 5 of 6 from deep. He had 21 points, and the Suns allowed 41 points. Now, granted, they scored 32. They weren't inept offensively. They just couldn't get stops. Part of that was allowing the Cavaliers to dictate pace. The Cavaliers came out hustling after every rebound, after every turnover, and even after every make by the Suns. They were getting out and running. They were trying to do what the Spurs did to the Suns so long ago, back in November, you know, Halloween, and then like November 2nd when they played them. They like, you know what? We don't have the talent tonight, so we're going to have to beat you with the hustle. And that's what they did, is they just attacked as hard as they could on the interior. And then if they weren't attacking on the interior, what were they doing? Well, they were hitting the three ball. In the first quarter, they had 16 points in the paint and then 21 points from beyond the arc. And that was, you know, how they scored their points in the first. Started to fall back a little bit in the second. The Suns actually outscored them 31-29, came back to earth a little bit. But if you look at their overall numbers in that first half, they were 43.5% from beyond the arc. They hit 10 threes in the first half. Now, granted, the Suns had hit 6. And I tweeted out at halftime. I'm like, listen, I understand that we're frustrated because the Suns aren't stopping them from scoring, but they're also scoring at an insane clip. Regression will occur, and that's exactly what happened in the second half for the Suns. But, you know, hearing that on the radio, is there any way to stop that, or do teams just kind of get on these rolls sometime?
Oh, they just it's the NBA. It's going to happen. So the only way that you can feel confident is if the Suns have gotten past this in the past, where they can come back and just take over these teams that are decent, even though they are injured. I guess they're a title contender if they're healthy. They kind of seem like in the East, because out East is kind of open to anybody. I think the Celtics, obviously, what are they, 7 games ahead? The Cavs have a chance out there to get the Eastern Conference Finals, so they are a legit team. So the Suns, if game after game, if they keep finding themselves in a hole, it's about just coming back. And of course, you always have a new guy coming back from injury, which was Book tonight. So you got to work him back into things. But the way he got back into things in the second half, and he just really answered the call. And then also Kevin Durant just putting up huge scoring numbers tonight again and just hitting big shots. And in a stretch run where he hits three in a row, you just knew like, okay, this team is back to where they can answer. And you kind of hear Beal's name more and more. You hear Book just in the paint deflecting rebounds to grab the offensive rebound. So there's a lot of, I guess, a lot of action going on the offensive end. And that's what you want to hear, the movement of the ball and just getting those extra tip passes and getting the extra possessions. That just means this team, like someone said in the chat, they don't give up. They can't, and they don't have the, they just don't have the wiggle room right now because of how many games are left in the season. So I feel like they have that sense of urgency now to where every possession matters. So when they find themselves in the hole, I kind of don't mind it because teams are going to go on a run. We're going to hit that game in the playoffs where, you know, we're going to be outscored, what, like 9-6 when it comes to threes at the end of the first. It's going to happen like that. And then the team will take a 12 or 15 point lead into the second quarter. It's just about the response. So I'd rather work on that now, see how they can respond. And right now you just kind of feel it. Like I said, with 2 minutes left, I kind of figured like the Suns are going to win, but I also do feel like they can make those comebacks. They can make the stops. Their defense is ass still, according to subreddit, but they're going to get better. And Frank Vogel said they're going to get better, but then also you realize the rest of the league, the defense is getting better if you listen to Bill Simmons. So I think just offensively, if they can limit those turnovers and just really fill themselves and believe they're confident enough to get back into these games, that's the biggest thing to capitalize on heading into the playoffs.
100%. And it's going to be something that is, you know, game to game, there's going to be highs and lows, and there's going to be different ways to win games. There's going to be games in which you're going to have to rely on the big three. There's going to be games in which Grayson Allen or Royce O'Neal are going to go off and score 20 points. And that's the beauty of this team. And it's one thing that's valuable about this team, and something that we definitely didn't have with the Phoenix Suns of a year ago when we entered the postseason, is this a team that can beat you in multiple different ways. It's a team that can beat you with their three-point shooting. It's a team that can beat you with a solid rebounding and Nurkalicious game. It's a team that can beat you with some ancillary players. It's a team where Devin Booker or Kevin Durant can put you on their back and they can dominate you. And it's a team that can beat you with defense. And this is something that's interesting. And I don't know how many people actually know this about the Suns. And it's an article that'll be posted via Brightside tomorrow morning, our opening piece, if you will. Looking at the Suns' defensive rating month to month and where it ranks relative to other teams in the NBA. They were 23rd in the NBA in defensive rating in November, then 18th in December, 13th in January, 9th in February, and thus far, not including tonight, they're 8th. So this is a team that is getting better as the season progresses. Okay, and you look at the second half of this game. What sparked the victory tonight was that third quarter. Now, part of that is Kevin Durant going off for 19 points, and obviously we'll talk about him momentarily. The Suns score 34 points. But part of that is the Suns' defense only allowing 21 points. A team that, in the Cleveland Cavaliers, that, like I mentioned earlier, shot 43% from beyond the arc and 55% in the first half overall, had in just the third quarter 36% from the field and 25% from the three-point line. Now, the key to that, Suns took care of the ball, only three turnovers, but only allowed 3 points. And they did a good job getting back in transition and forcing their defensive will and rebounding the ball. I mean, Devin Booker alone in the third quarter had 4 offensive rebounds, 3 on one play. But their attention and their ability to lock in at defense at time is something that, again, we go back to that word frustration. The reason frustration exists is because we see quarters like that. And you're like, dude, just do that shit all the time. Now, it's hard to do that because the energy isn't sustainable. But, man, I mean, to know that they have the capability to do that, they completely flipped this game on its head, and then they were the front runners for the remainder of the game.
Yeah, you could just tell from the beginning. I mean, I know they were, from what I was listening on the radio, like they responded enough to where it's like they had the chance to win, and they kind of believed in themselves in that way. But I think it's crucial where Booker comes out and the energy is kind of just there, right? I mean, you're missing one of the big three, but the energy he presented himself with out on the court in the second half was just huge. Like it was something that the Suns desperately needed, that we kind of find from like other players, like other role players like Bol Bol at times. But it was Book who I felt like led with the energy that the Suns needed to get to the finish line. Oh, you're muted.
I said I agree. So much. I don't want you to hear me burp and Diet Dr. Peppers.
I should just let you mute it the whole time. Like, yeah, you're right, John.
Yeah, no. Makes perfect sense. Yeah. I know that book brought the energy, but Kevin Durant has brought the scoring again tonight.
Who the heck are you?
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
Durant tonight, 37 points on 14 of 26 from the field, 5 of 10 from beyond the arc, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, only 3 turnovers in this game. Was absolutely fantastic, as I mentioned, especially in that third quarter where he scored 19. I will say this. I went on FanDuel at halftime, and I saw it was plus 124 for Kevin Durant to score 8 points in the third. Money. Cash. He had that with like 7 minutes left in the quarter. But, you know, watching Kevin Durant play and the manner in which he went out there again tonight and carried this team offensively for stretches, it's unbelievably impressive. And I'll say this, and I'll ask you this question. Do we all appreciate that we are witnessing one of the all-time greats have an all-time great season?
Yeah. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, I was listening to Bill Simmons, obviously. This is his 58th game of the season. I mean, like Nurk, he's been so consistent. And I think that his stats may earn him a first-team All-NBA spot if he stays this way, if he continues to have these blistering hot games where he's leading the team in points. Like, he has to be there. It's kind of going under the radar. I think it's just because of the way the Suns' season has gone and our frustration sometimes with him losing the ball in critical moments of the game to where it's like turnover after turnover. But everything else he does overlooks that. So we do kind of nitpick a little bit. But I think it's been a great season where he's earned a spot, I feel like, in at least a second or first team this year. But also, his defense is rebounding, the all-out effort that he puts out there, like game to game, that's overlooked as well. I really think that even tonight when he had a huge rebound towards the end of the game, like falling out of bounds with his long bony legs, he had just enough to hover over that line with his little tiny butt and just throw it back into bounds. I think it was to book. But, you know, plays like that, it's just like, man, like this guy just gives such a fuck. And I know it's so cliche to say, but it's just true. It's just like he just wants to win every game. He came here just the ball, just to be – you know, a regular old ball player out there, not worry about anything else. And he has the opportunity to do that. And this is what happens, man. He puts up these kind of stats to where it is under the radar. Everyone talks about LeBron constantly, all the fucking time. And this guy's right up there with him and never talks about him, probably because he's in Phoenix.
You know, I'll say this. I wore tonight my Welcome to the Desert Durant shirt. You know, the shirts that they gave out at his opening press conference, because I was thinking about it. And, you know, for those of you who watched the last post game podcast, I was on with Suns Geek and I had my little Kevin Durant rant, my Kevin Durant. Oh, shit. It's genius. And it really got me thinking, you know, it's one of those things when you watch this team all the time and you have frustrations with every member of the team. That happens. That's what every fan base does is if you're a true fan. What's so funny? Did you fart or something?
No, Creepy Crawly just put little tiny butt. I forgot he said that. So when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I said little tiny butt. Yeah. So now I'm thinking of a little tiny butt.
Right. Okay. But every fan base has that. And like Lazy Squatch says in the chat, he says the Phoenix Suns have the most negative fan base. Dude, go hang out on the subreddit of opposing teams right now. Like, that's incorrect.
Every team does.
Every team does. And one thing that I love about writing for Brightside and for doing this podcast is 9 viewers or listeners out of 10 are the passionate fans of the Suns fan base. This is the community. Those of you who are live in the chat or those who watch later or listen later, that's you're in this select little community that truly cares about this team and watches them all the time. You're not the casual fan. You're the psycho. You're the fanatic. Right. So you're overanalyzing everything. And when you overanalyze things, you start picking them apart because you see where their opportunity lives. And that's what we do night to night. After every Suns game, we go live right here on the Suns Jam Session. And we start when we talk about the great things that we saw and we saw about the opportunities or the things that frustrated us. Right. So it's not that we're negative or your fellow fans in the chat are negative. they're providing their feedback on the team from what they see night to night. This isn't some random person coming in, looking at a game once and being like, they suck, because those are the people who think the Suns are great. And if you're on Suns Facebook, like, they say, if you ever say anything negative about the Suns, you're not a real fan. Suns till I die. It's like, yeah, of course Suns till I die, man. But like, I'm still going to be critical of things that I like. That's just natural. And in that process, I feel like we don't – like, I feel like you and I do a good job of giving KD his flowers and talking about the great things that he does. But we also have – you know, we have some, you know, observations of things that he could do better. But I don't want that to take away from us appreciating that we are watching an all-time great NBA player in a Suns jersey having an all-time great NBA season, because that's what's happening. He's shooting the second best three-point shooting percentage of his entire career. He's having the third best field goal percentage of his entire career. He's scoring the fourth most points per season that he's ever scored in his career. And he's doing it in a Phoenix Suns jersey. And we all know that his ability to score when the Suns need to get some points and they can go to Kevin Durant, he's going to do it. Now, I know that we can get frustrated with the fact that he might go a little isolation heavy, but you know what? Go back and watch Jordan. Tell me if you ever watched him do any isolation. Yeah, he'd live there. And the other thing that I wanted to point out is I talked a little bit earlier about how the Suns consistently are getting better month after month relative to their defensive rating as a team. It starts with Kevin Durant. In November, he had a defensive rating of 117.3. And then in December, it was 116.7. And then in January, it was 116. And in February, it was 110.5. And then in March, it was 109.2. Now, defensive rating for an individual player does have something to do with the players around you, because it's production over 100 possessions, and it's not just you individually. But every month, he's getting better defensively. Every month, he's still putting up that same consistent scoring, but he's getting better defensively. So that's a driving force as to why the Suns are getting better. It's because they got Kevin Wayne Durant.
In the what was I gonna say? Oh yeah. Does it really matter? I don't know. Something about Kevin Durant being great. I was gonna say that, you know, the negativity, it's not even based on just Kevin Durant's performances really in the turnovers. It's just a collective group effort to, you know, avoid those losses that we look forward to. We don't this season, like we mentioned in the beginning of the pod, it's all about the expectations and we have for this team. So if we're losing, we're going to look to see who we can actually blame for it, right? I mean, that's just how – that's where it comes from. And
I wouldn't say blame. If we're winning,
well, I think we blame it on some players. There's some Shamit Zone players right now, right? Or no?
Oh, yeah.
Is Eric Gordon in the Shamit Zone?
No, Drew Eubanks lives in the Shamit Zone, dude. He's got a condo.
I thought Eric Gordon was there now.
Well, he invites Eric Gordon over from time to time. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. They like live. But I would say blame. I would just say, like, from a fan standpoint, attempt to hold accountable. Like, it's an accountability thing. It's like, well – Like Royce O'Neal tonight. Royce O'Neal had another bad game. Okay. And it's a bad, like, in a key stretch in the game, bad play, a missed three, another turnover, yeah. both of which led to points for the Cavs. You know, so it's like, yeah, if you lose this game, you go, listen, Royce O'Neal needs to play better. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, perhaps it's language semantics. I'm saying hold accountable. You're saying blame. And I guess at the end of the day, it means the same thing, right?
Yeah, I guess so. And like, we're relying on some of these players too to do too much. And then it's just like, well, they're not filling their role. They didn't put up 26 points again. Like, you know, Grayson Allen spoils us with every other game. So we have been spoiled, but we've also seen the worst of this team. I feel like, and maybe that's a good thing, right? We've already seen the worst, I hope.
Well, the way I look at it, the way that I look at it is everything is aligned for the Suns to become a very, very dangerous team. Now, again, that's the expectation, and that's why this season could be frustrating, because all the narratives are there, right? Again, 17 games left, hardest schedule remaining. We've got Boston on Thursday. We got Milwaukee at 10 a.m. Arizona time on Sunday. We got to play these Cavs again at the end of the month or in April when they most likely will be healthy. We got two against the Clippers. We got the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. I mean, it's not an easy schedule that lies ahead for the Suns. But if they can win more than they lose, and they can become tougher and grittier and understand and develop that identity that they're so without at times as they head towards the postseason, great things can happen. So all the narratives are aligned again for the Suns. you know, and Vogel's using that. He's like, we're going to be a monster when we hit the playoffs. And, you know, this is, it's one of those iron sharpens iron kind of deals right now, right? The Suns are going right into the storm. And if they can come out the other side, they could be the only ship left. And Bubba Gump Shrimp Company is going to become a very profitable organization for the Suns. Devin Booker.
Big Dick Booker.
When he's trying to make like a serious point, and then it's like Big Dick Booker. That's the Suns jam session. What can I say? Booker returns tonight, missing four games with the ankle injury. Comes back 11 of 22 from the field, only 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. But he had 27 points. He had 7 assists. He had 6 rebounds, 4 of those of the offensive variety. Great to have Booker back. Great to see his energy back tonight, right, Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, seeing that he's back today, earlier today, I was so excited, man. I was so excited to just sit there and listen to it on the radio and not be able to really see it. But, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, his energy was great. I mean, in the second half, he really picked up a lot of what some of the other players are leaving behind in the role players. But, you know, he did the little dirty things here or there to help the team win. He said he missed some shots at the end of the game. He did. But he'll get back into the groove. So he's not like Kevin Durant, where Kevin Durant needs like 2 or 3 games to get a shot back. His shot will be there eventually, probably next game. But he can do other things too to help this team out. So it's such a weird thing, really, just to have Booker back. And then you have Beal and KD. And the way they performed tonight, I feel like as a collective group, was really probably one of the best games they've had together. When they're now, what are they, 15-9 together?
I believe so, it's 15 and, yeah, I think 15-8.
Correct. Okay.
It's 15-8 or 9. Somebody fact check that.
Which isn't too bad, but I feel like this was producer, probably one of the better. And it's coming at a good time, too, on this. Did you check with nephew Ashley or niece Ashley?
Yeah, producer Ash. Producer Ashley. Okay. So she's running the numbers on the Scamtron.
Yeah, and like I was saying, to head into this road trip with him healthy, that's huge, dude. That's I love these East Coast road trips, not because it's an early game, but because his team, right before the playoffs start, like they can get these, like these issues down they have behind the scenes. You know, they can, instead of not talking to each other where it's affecting their court play, they can actually go into each other's hotel room and like figure it out. So that's what I look forward to the most.
Do you think that they're taking the whiteboard like to the hotel room and they're like, okay, so here you go, if you run this set and you're over here,
I don't know, I wonder what they do. I bet you they don't talk. I think Chris Paul is probably the only one that talks ball outside of the game and practice, right?
No,
because I don't think these
Kevin
guys
Durant
do.
Has to.
You think so? I don't feel like he would.
I feel like
maybe he would.
I feel like he would. Well, I agree that having Devin Booker back just gives an infusion of energy to this team. And it's a challenge that the Suns was very noticeable when Saben Lee was getting minutes over this past, you know, 4 games. And you're sitting out there and you're just like, he's inert. He's not what you need. And knowing that Devin Booker is going to have the ability to go out there again tonight, plays a total of 38 minutes. He played, you know, it's like anything to not
minute
have
restriction. Yeah. I heard that before the game on the game show. I heard
they said none. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Amanda Flugrad's like, no, there's no minutes restriction for Booker. I'm like, good, man. Cause I don't want to see Saben Lee out there at all. Love him, but I just.
No, you don't.
I like him. I like Saben Lee.
I love Saben.
I know you do. I like him. I mean, he's.
Okay.
I mean, he's. There, you know, number 38, that's cool, right? Like,
that's
let's get
number,
on a jersey,
yeah.
You know.
That's good.
But it's essentially he doesn't really accomplish anything, and he's not an offensive threat or a defensive threat. I mean, he can attack, but he's not even doing pump fakes anymore. He used to pump fake and then like attack the basket. Now he just gets the ball and attacks, and you're like, dude, you didn't even try to distribute the ball. So having him back and knowing that that's going to absorb some of those minutes, knowing that Okogie's close to getting back, those are the guys who are going to really help this team in the long run, because we're not giving out garbage minutes. We're not just like handing them out like you're at the front end of a line. You're like, hey, anybody need some minutes here? Here's some for you. Here's some for you. And I got a question for you, Matthew, without looking at the box score. So you can't look at the box.
You know what time it is.
Trivia time.
Proving the point that the Suns still aren't back healthy. Who are the only two players to score off the bench tonight?
Well, it wasn't Bol Bol. I already checked that.
That's correct.
The first thing I go to when I get home. 5 minutes left in the game. What did my Bol Bol do? The only two players, I'll say Eubanks. I know he had a putback.
That's correct.
An offensive rebound put back. And then I'm going to say this is tough. I don't know why. Who's the other guy that came off the bench today? Because I know Eric Gordon's out. Wow, this is terrible. Who is it?
Terrible. Take a lap. God awful. Get going. Terrible. Take a lap.
I was going to say it was Roddy.
It was not Royce O'Neal.
No, I know.
It was David Roddy.
There he is! There's the Roddy one! There is Roddy!
2 points for him. So we only had 6 points off the bench.
Yikes.
Yeah, yikes. But again, as long as this isn't who the Suns are all the time, I'm okay with it because, one, it's a win. And two, it's a win. I mean, that's all that matters right now. But the bench depth, and the point I'm making is the bench is hurting. Royce O'Neal needs to be a guy who comes off the bench and scores. Josh Okogie is a guy who can get you some points. I mean, we don't expect him to score a bunch, but can get you some points. And Drew Eubanks is something to be desired right now.
Big Crank Eubanks.
Crank that soul.
Now I mean you.
Crank that soul.
Now I mean you.
Crank that soul.
Now I mean you.
Crank that soul.
Now what?
Now, a conversation that Suns Geek and I had after the game against the Boston Celtics is something that, you know, I came to the conclusion, like, you can't pull Eubanks to put in Yudoka Azubuike right now because you want Eubanks to go into the postseason confident in the minutes that he's been allocated. But I don't know why Frank Vogel keeps him out there and kept him out there for the remainder of this game because he was making some boneheaded plays. He wasn't rebounding. He was allowing offensive rebounds. He was tapping the ball to the opposing team because he couldn't grab the rebound. You know, again, 18 minutes played for him. He had 4 points. He had 6 rebounds. But how many offensive rebounds did he allow in that final quarter? Because the final quarter for the Cavaliers, they ended up with 4 offensive rebounds. There was a chance for them to come back. Now, they ended with only 4 second-chance points because they were 2 of 4 from the field. But why, oh, why, Frank Vogel, why is he playing Eubanks over Nurk late in the game, Matthew?
Yeah, I didn't even get to see any Nurk, and this is really tearing
up my
heart because I could see any of it. So I'm like, did something happen to him? And I was going to ask you that later in the pod when we talked about him, but he just didn't play, huh? It was just Eubanks. Because the way Eubanks looks is when you're trying to grab those boards, it just looks like you're going to a concert and, like, you know, you're trying to get up close to the stage and you're jumping over people's backs. That's all it looks like. It's not really any box out using your body or anything like that. He just has a hard time doing that, man. But I mean, he's had the games, the stretches lately where he's looked kind of consistent, more competent in his game. But now it's like, okay, well, can we see what else we have in Thaddeus? Can we see what else we have in these other guys? Because I think that I don't remember who asked it, but the press conference after last game, they asked about Thaddeus. And he said that he's right behind Eubanks on the depth chart. It's like, okay, well, what does that even mean? Like, you really have Eubanks and then Thaddeus Young on the depth chart as their centers? Like, I don't get that. But I really want to see what else we have. I think we know what we have, where Eubanks might play one good game, a series, come out and have some big minutes. But I think we got to know what else we have. And I'm not even going to mention the Bol Bol thing, but I mean, he's not getting any fucking minutes. So I don't know.
He didn't.
I don't know, Frank.
He did.
What do you want,
tonight,
Frank? Did he only have 13? I thought he had like 7 points, 6 rebounds in like 13 minutes last game.
And sounds about right. He plays anywhere between like 13 and 16 minutes.
Frustrating,
like kind of, well, because you're at that point where you're trying to whittle down that rotation at this point of the season. And that's all he was going to get in the playoffs. You're not going to play Bol Bol 25 minutes. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but
now
that's not
what
he's going to do.
Now you
know,
can't.
You know, but, and people were saying it in the chat last time. You know, maybe we should see some Thad. And I'm not opposed to seeing some Thad. Nurk was fasting today.
Yeah, he was fasting, not even water. So that's probably what it was.
Are you serious? Was he?
Yeah, it's yeah. He had a shirt on. It says not even water. I think he was fasting for 24 hours
because Ramadan's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. Okay. Well, there you go. It wasn't Frank Vogel's choice. It was Yusuf Nurkic respecting the rules of his religion. Okay. Well, there you go. I still would like to see Thaddeus Young out there, maybe in the second quarter a little bit. Like, I know that what you want to do is you want to continue to give Eubanks run because you need his confidence. Cause like you said, one out of about every 4 games, he gives you a good solid performance and you go back and you go, hey, he's the one who like beat the Bulls and changed the game against Andre Drummond. So he has the ability to do these kind of things, but at the same time, like we're at that final stage. So maybe against Charlotte, right? Like we play Boston the next night, we play the Charlotte Hornets. Maybe against the Horny Hornets, you throw Thad Young out there for a while and just get some sea legs under him. So maybe that's the answer. Assalamu alaikum, Yusuf Nurkic. I had no idea that you celebrated Ramadan. So that makes sense. He was probably gassed at the back end of the game. So good job, Frank Vogel, in not killing Nurkalicious.
Nurkalicious definition, make them boys go crazy.
Oh. 29 minutes from Nurk tonight. He had 9 points. He had 8 rebounds. And he was looking good again, bodying people up. One thing that I want to throw out there is a reminder to everybody, you know, and again, 7 points, 7 rebounds in the first half. So didn't play a ton in the second half, 13 minutes in the second half, wasn't highly productive. You know, Yusuf Nurkic is somebody who everybody entering the season said, good luck with him, right? And it's funny because, I'll finish this thought. It's funny because I'm in this kind of mode because now we're at the back end of the season. And obviously on the conversation that we just had about Kevin Durant, I'm talking about, hey, we're witnessing one of the greatest players of all time have an all-time great season. Appreciate this, Suns fans. Because 10 years from now, you're going to go back and look at the 2023-2024 season and performances from Kevin Durant. Like, fuck, man, we were lucky to watch this. It's the same thing. Like I'm in this almost like retrospective look at our season because it's getting ready to come to an end. It's 3:11 today. You know, yeah. I'm trying to think of some 311 songs right off the dome. And I can't.
Oh, the band. Okay.
Yeah.
Amber, I forgot about the 311.
I just amber is the color of your energy.
Whoa. It's one of those bands where you just didn't really want to admit you liked, or did you?
I love 311, dude. I made a 311 Sublime website on GeoCities in like 1997. Okay. So don't stay home. Just enjoy some 311. But it's 311, so that means that the playoffs are right around the corner. So this season's starting to wrap up, and it's trying to go, what was this season? And Nurkic has been such an amazing addition. And obviously, one of the narratives this season was, good luck with him. He's not going to play. Well, tonight was his 61st game. He's been the most consistent starter we've had. He hasn't played this many games since he played 72 games in his third season in Portland back in 2018/19. We are getting an amazing Nurk season as well. And I just want everyone to appreciate that as well. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and it's really quick too. It was skimmed over. If you listen to Bill Simmons' pod, we're always going to talk about this. I don't care. It was skimmed over again, how he didn't predict Nurk to play this many games.
That was his version of giving Nurk credit.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I think so. And I think it's like, oh, he's probably the most important player on that team.
it's also another reason why I think I'm thinking about this is Bill Simmons. Obviously, the Suns lost to the Celtics, which means Bill Simmons finally watched the Suns game this past weekend. And he's probably like, oh, shit, Kevin Durant's really good and Nurk's pretty damn good, too. So like, I didn't realize I'm all mixed up. Don't know what to do. Next thing you turn around and find a person is you. And all of a sudden he gives the Suns a little bit of respect because he finally witnessed them. But a great season from Nurk and a solid performance again tonight. I think that's all I got to say about that. What else you got in your notes?
No notes.
I didn't stuff. Oh yeah. I didn't take notes because I wrote the recap for Brightside. So you want to do a little subreddit stakeout?
I'm down.
Matthew is in Believeland today.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
I have yet to eat dinner and steak sounds delicious.
And like,
oh, I was just saying steak sounds delicious. Son.
Now I just look like Wayne's World.
Dude,
I've got my sunglasses.
Can you do a Garth impression?
Yeah, remember I do that every time I host a pod by myself? Who said that? Someone said that. I'll just wear these.
I'm having a good time.
Sunglasses. Are the sideburns. All right, there we go. All right. Let's see if I can just force this one out. All right. I just got to squeeze one out really quick. I just threw up too. You know, I want to look skinny for all you guys. So, Booker. Him and I hang out, so I can relate to this one. Booker looking like he did a couple bumps at halftime. So, yeah, came out with that energy. So that's where I got all my notes from today. That energy Book had today is from subreddit. So I stole that one. Jared Allen, no shit, I think aliens are real. Did he say that? I don't even know. I think Garland was like mic'd up today or something like that. I don't even know. He was on the other side because they said lol. Garland telling everyone he's mic'd up so they don't slip up in on an accident. You know, you don't want someone to say anything bad. So I think he was. I think he was just mic'd up so he would go up to players and say, hey, I'm mic'd and don't say anything bad, all right? You want to get canceled out here. So I like Beal, and that's about it. Someone said, yeah, that's about normal. No one likes anybody else but Beal, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like you're right there because Beal's never hurt anybody's feelings.
No,
even the Cavs goofy, as a right? wizard forever.
Yeah, he's. That's true. Why the fuck they chose the old ass short woman to do half court shots? I always like the subreddit where they talk about the halftime and stuff.
Yeah,
I never can see it. Daylight savings time being over and the sun's being out later. I didn't even realize it's game time. I feel like that's everybody today, right? You got home from work?
Not in Arizona.
Let's see. That's all I had. Oh wait. One more thing before I go. Suns defense is atrocious, dude. There's always a dude wide the fuck open. That's what it sounded like on the radio.
Yeah, fair. Very fair.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Let's talk some Brad Beal.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley. Boom, boom.
10 of 19 from the field for Bradley Beal. 24 points, 3 steals, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Truly stuffed the stat sheet tonight. This was the best that I've seen Beal look probably all season. I know he's had a couple games where he's had a higher point total, but his shiftiness, his ability to stop, because we've seen it even during the season, he'll get so far ahead of himself that when he stops, he'll slide that foot, and then he ultimately can't get off a good jump shot. But his shiftiness, his active hands on the defensive end, I really thought it was a complete game from Bradley Beal, which is why I think this is overall and holistically the best big three game that we've had this season, because Booker brought the energy, KD brought the shot making, and Beal brought the shiftiness and the fuck shit up ability. And I like seeing that tonight.
Yeah. A couple, open, you know, open court dunks too tonight. I heard, you know, just breakaway dunks, you know, on the fast break. One, I think, it was a Grayson Allen had a steal and he kind of missed him on the outlet pass. So that would have been 3. So that's awesome to hear. Beal just reminds me of a wide receiver, doesn't he, to you? Like,
yes,
the way he plays, like, he's not as, I know he does the shiftiness and stuff like that, but the way he gets to the rim and stuff, like, he's kind of just reckless in a way to where he'll just throw himself at guys or throw himself into the crowd, like kind of crowd surf after, which is not what you always want to see, but he just reminds me of a receiver so much, the way he can just like zip by these guys defensively or on the defensive end and just get by anybody to really grab the ball and just head the other way and beat anybody down court. So super quick, just built like one. But I don't know. I had that take a couple games ago. I'm sure people think that too, but he just, the way he can actually move out there reminds me of a wide receiver.
He's like Tyreek Hill-esque, if you will. Like, he has that speed, and even at his age, he's still unbelievably quick. Sometimes too quick, he leaves the ball behind him. He's like, oh, shit, I got to dribble this thing too. But a great game by him, and as this team develops, knowing that he's your tertiary scorer is what makes them so deadly. And we saw that tonight with how wide open he was getting and how his gravity, because that's what he's been doing, is he's starting to attack the interior. And that's so valuable for this team, is because that is where the Suns have had challenges. When Bradley Beal's not out there and the Suns are starting to look very lackadaisical on offense is when they're not attacking. And if you start to attack, defenders automatically are going to collapse and it's going to leave open shooters. And I feel like when the Suns have issues, they're trying to run high screen roll or isolation ball on one side, and that doesn't work. Even with the screen and roll, you're forcing 4 people into one spot, the person with the ball, his defender, the screener, and his defender. Now it's the switchability in there that's going to allow for openings and somebody finding the best shot possible. But if you have the ability to run some back cuts and disrupt the defense, and then have somebody who off the ball, and there's so many people on this team who can do that off the ball, even Grayson Allen can do it. It creates such, it's just a nightmare for opposing defenses, and Beal is the catalyst of that. So, yeah, I just it's good to have him play in that capacity. It's just great overall having the big three back again.
Let's not say it again.
Okay. Okay.
Jam star of the game.
All right, Jamsters, a reminder, hit the thumbs up button, subscribe, rate, review, do all that good stuff. If you don't follow us on YouTube, head over to our YouTube channel. Do it there. Let us know in the chat who your jam star of the game is. There's a lot of good nominees in this one. I mean, KD obviously going for 37. Booker for the way that he continually had those offensive rebounds, the energy he brought. Nurkalicious for not playing in the fourth quarter to respect his religious beliefs. I don't know which way you're going to go. So which way are you going to go?
Let's give it to Kevin Durant. I think that's the first time I've given it to him this year.
It's the first time you've given it to him since the Suns played the Sacramento Kings.
Was that on the comeback win?
No.
Okay. The most recent game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll give it to him again.
Yeah. When we played the Sacramento Kings, I didn't even log that one. In the comeback, I didn't even log that one. I don't think I did. Nope.
No, because we're at the game. Yeah.
Yeah, we were at the game and I wasn't, driving home and such. I absolutely give it to KD again. It just... those three pointers that he hit, the fact that he won me some money tonight. Appreciate you, KD.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Plus 124. Yeah. Just everything he does. Again, I just appreciate KD. That's where I'm living today. So looking John Tran, KD has our jam star. Wish I could have seen a clean 40 Bach in person. Eubanks for sure. Eubanks for sure. Kevin Dizzle from CL Oracle. Suns Fever gives its jam star the big three. I like that. I believe it's pronounced Derizzle. So let's change it up here a little bit. We got about 9 minutes left. Let's talk some childhood trauma.
Childhood trauma.
Well, we did ask the question in the chat. Let's see what some of the jamster said. We said childhood trauma topic. So we'll start with this one. Francisco C, weird bathroom experiences at school trauma.
Yeah, I have one. Do you have one?
Of course. Oh, yeah. I got a funny one.
No, I don't want to say that one.
Whoa, there's multiple ones?
Yeah, there's multiple ones. I think this one I might have already said before. So I don't know. I guess I'll just say it quickly. So I think I was in second grade. I went in to go take a deuce. And I remember a bully came in and was yelling at me to get out of the stall. So I didn't wipe my butt. I just ran out of there. And I remember him looking at my poop going, ew! And then that was it.
Is that traumatic for you to this day?
I mean, I can still think about it. It's not really traumatic, but I feel like it kind of, before that, I was just cool with, pooping, doing whatever I had to do in public bathrooms at that age. And then after that, I was a little scared. So it was a little traumatizing for sure.
So mine, it was first grade. And the whole team went on a field trip to Universal Studios. I grew up in the greater Los Angeles area up in San Fernando Valley. And it was super cool because we got to see the Ninja Turtles, and everybody who went got a Ninja Turtle toy. I ended up getting a Ninja Turtle toy of Bebop. Like, I wanted Michelangelo. And so I went to go to the bathroom and take a pee at the urinal. And I pulled my pants all the way down to do it. I did it. And then a kid next to me started laughing at me. He's like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, what do you mean? What am I doing? He's like, you're supposed to just unzip and go. I didn't know. It's in first grade. And then I'll never forget the last day of school. He turned around and he laughed. He's like, you pulled your pants all the way down to go pee. I was like, oh my God, dude. it's like it's like in Superbad. Some people never forget.
Yeah.
It's totally, totally what happened to me. To this day, I don't pull my pants down to go to the bathroom because I always think of that motherfucker. Blaze Megatron, childhood trauma. What food/drink can't you eat now that you used to love as a kid?
Everything. I can't eat
everything. Everything has corn.
I still will. Everything makes me feel like shit. I don't eat anything. Well, I do, but I definitely feel it. So I would say just everything.
Me, it's milk. I used to love milk, and I fucking hate milk now. Milk is gross. Gross. Milk is not natural. Like, yes,
I had milk last night. Yeah, it's weird having milk now.
I don't put milk in my cereal. And
yeah, but there's something that happened though to you, right? Like your mom thing. Like
my sister, when we were kids, she got a big like bowl and she put a bunch of Cheerios in it. And then so she put some milk in it. And then she realized that she didn't have enough Cheerios. So she put more Cheerios in it. And then she realized she didn't have enough milk. So she put some more milk in it. And then she decided she didn't want to eat it. And like, we grew up poor and milk was expensive. So my mom was frustrated. She took and she dumped it on my sister's head.
Oh,
and I just remember my sister crying through milk and Cheerios. Jeez. And like after that, I'm like, I don't put milk in cereal. I don't like milk. Milk's gross.
Yeah.
And just so if anybody asks, I don't put anything in cereal. I eat it dry. Okay. And it's not like, well, do you put water? Like, no, I don't fucking have cereal. I don't put anything. It's just gross. Creepy Crawly, are there any cringeworthy moments that still affect you today? Are there any that don't affect you today?
Yeah, I mean, all of them, right?
Yeah, I kind of feel like my whole childhood is just
I mean, you are who you are by the age of 10, I think. Like, you're 90% complete by the age of 10, so everything kind of sticks with you.
I remember once, and this sounds dumb, I remember, like, something that just makes me cringe. It was just stupid. Is I got, like, new batting gloves. I grew up playing baseball, and I got new batting gloves. And, like, one day, and this is, like, second or third grade, maybe fourth. Maybe it was fourth. Back when I was going to a private school that had like 35 kids in it. It was in a house in Moorpark, California. I wore my batting gloves to school all day. And then like somebody's like, what are you doing? I was like, dude, I'm just wearing my batting gloves. I'm trying to break them in. And like, there's only like 10 kids at the school who were like my friends at the time, because there's only 35 total. And they all made fun of me. And even to this day, it's just like it's cringeworthy. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but
it's not a great story. It's not horrible, but it's just one of those things where it's just like, I don't know. Nobody likes being made fun of. And Creepy Crawly says, sounds like a cult. Yeah, it was a Catholic school.
I can't really think of anything else, really. I'm sorry.
Cringeworthy. You ever spark in class or anything and you got busted?
No, actually, no. I remember...
I farted on the elevator the other day and somebody walked in. I was like, shit.
What? Yeah.
You know what I saw this morning? This is one of the craziest things, not super crazy, but just random conversation. And unlike 383 people are watching, this is me and Matthew talking. Thank you everyone for watching our conversation. I went to drop off my dry cleaning at the dry cleaners this morning, and the guy ahead of me in line was paying with a check.
Really?
When's the last time you used a check?
I've never used a check. I think maybe twice in my life I used a check.
Well, I mean, like, I used to use checks because I'm older than you. But, like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, what's taking this guy so long? And I hear him. He's, like, filling out a check. I'm like, does the cashier, who's, like, 20, even know how to process this thing?
Throw it away. They're like, okay.
Yeah, she's just like, cool, thanks. What do I do with this thing?
If I was working there and this never happened, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just keep it and, like, store it somewhere and be like, this is what happened today. Someone gave me this.
I remember, like, 7 years ago, I went to Best Buy and I was asking them, I was doing a capital project for work. We were buying a bunch of stereo equipment for DJing by the pool, because I used to work in hospitality and run the fun team. And I went to them, I go, listen, my company says that we can buy the equipment. I need to get a quote and they're going to pay by check. And the guy is like, I have no idea how to do that. And he called a manager who called another manager who told me they couldn't accept a check at Best Buy. It was like 7 years ago. Like, Best Buy's like, no, we just fuck checks. We ain't doing checks anymore. You know, I'm like, no, this would be like a corporate check. It's for the exact specified amount based on the quote. Like, you'd give me a quote, I'd have that right again. They're like, nope, yeah, we're not doing that. You don't have a purchasing card? I'm like, not for a capital project. Capital projects are 10 grand or more. Like, we're going to buy 10 grand worth of equipment. You don't want that? They're like, we don't accept checks. I'm like, what fucking? I'm like, okay, checks are dead. And then this morning, a guy is paying for his dry cleaning with a check. There you go. Hmm. Somebody still has them out there. Somebody still use them. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is kind of some.
Yeah, I feel really like I kind of let you guys down. I let you guys down.
I feel like I did too. I'm like, I wore batting gloves.
This wasn't really, you know, the best energy for me. Book brother.
Childhood trauma.
We're doing it again?
No, I was closing the segment out.
Oh. I'm like, I don't know what else to talk about.
Well, next time we'll see you, Jamsters, is on Thursday after the Suns play the Boston Celtics for the second time in a week. I think, is it, what time's that game start? Is it 4 o'clock Arizona time?
No, that one's 4:30, and then the one on Friday against the Horny Hornets is 4:00. And then the 10 o'clock start on Sunday against the Bucks.
We were so happy for daylight savings to be over because all those West Coast games no longer will be at 8 o'clock local time. They'll be at 7. And what happens the first week after daylight savings? The Suns go on the road and all the games start at 4:30 and now 10 in the morning. But
I don't mind too much. I just, today I couldn't get home, but I told my work, I'm like, I gotta leave it like at least at 4 the next few. So.
All right.
Otherwise, well, I like it.
Well, we'll see you then, Jamsters. A reminder, go ahead and follow me at Darth Voida on Twitter. You can read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. You follow the show at Suns Jam. You can follow Matthew.
I'm Matthew Lissy.
Home at 4 o'clock, because that's when he'll be leaving a little bit earlier to watch that Celtics game on Thursday. Until then, ladies and Jamsters,
go home and love your farts.
Your batting gloves.